Hey, Dads, you're listening to the Bedatitude Podcast, episode 30. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today we are taking a look at the fourth practice in the rite of Christian relationship, which is the first rite in the liturgy of domestic church life. If you are just joining us, I really encourage you to start at the beginning of the Bedatitude Podcast episodes, where we go through the eight Bedatitudes and how they relate to first our relationship to our Heavenly Father. And then our relationship to our wife, and then finally our relationship to our kids. And so we go through all those first. And now this part of the series, we're looking at each of the 12 practices in the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life. And today we'll be wrapping up the rite of Christian relationship, which is the practice, and the fourth practice in that is the practice of discipleship discipline. So let's talk a little bit about discipleship discipline, because it's a very different approach to discipline than what we mostly think. You know, most of us think about discipline in terms of punishment and reward and technique. Lisa and I actually talk about this in the Catholic Home podcast titled Beyond Rewards and Punishments. I'd really encourage you to check that out, because, and as well as looking in the DIY video section under discipline, because we have several short, like 5-minute tip videos in there to kind of explain this a little bit more. We also talk about discipleship discipline in our two books. I only have the one here right now, but Parenting Your Kids with Grace, as well as Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. But I'm going to give you a kind of a short version of some basic principles of discipleship discipline, which can really help you as a Catholic dad kind of take the lead in this. The first thing is that discipleship discipline is more of a relational approach than a technique-oriented approach or a transactional approach. Again, as I said, our classic understanding of discipline is really rooted in a more behavioral approach, where we do things to kids to either punish bad behavior in the hopes that good behavior will, you know, spontaneously occur, or reward good behavior when it happens, although we're not as good at that, generally speaking. And that tends to, you know, it tends to cause us to think about kids not so much as persons, but as projects. And, you know, when they push back, we see that as them being willful. Frankly, it teaches our kids to see us not as persons, but instead as obstacles, irritants, as wardens who are constantly, you know, checking up on their behavior. Instead of understanding good behavior as the way we take care of each other, the way we attend to each other's needs and respond to each other's concerns and work together to create a loving and virtuous Christian household. You know, and that can seem really ephemeral. I mean, it's easy to take a behavioral approach to parenting, because, you know, the child does this thing, you do that technique, you know, you did everything you could. If they don't listen, if they don't learn, well, that's on them. But it's really kind of impoverished view of healthy Christian discipline. And this idea of discipleship discipline is rooted in St. John Bosco's philosophy of education and child rearing. He developed what he called the preventive system of child rearing that was a response to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of child rearing that was popular in his day. And rather than using heavy-handed punishments and techniques, he focused on building a relationship, a mentor-mentee relationship with the students in his schools, that concentrated on cultivating virtue and building character through reason, religion, and loving kindness. You know, those are the three pillars of that Salesian approach, is reason, religion, and loving kindness, which sounds all kind of airy-fairy and sort of like let your kids run naked and wild. And it's not that at all. It's a very effective and very structured approach to parenting. It's just a very different approach than we think of, you know, and even when I teach this to parents, they still think of it as another set of techniques I can use on my kids, which completely misses the point. So it's much more about relationship. Okay. So number one in discipleship discipline, when our kids are misbehaving, yes, I do need to correct them in the moment, but I also should step back, especially if they're pushing back against my attempts at discipline. I need to step back and ask myself, where does my relationship stand with my kids? How much time have I spent with them? You know, when my adult kids were little, I would often experience that, you know, when I was when I had to do work harder in a particular week, spend more hours away, if I was on a business trip or something, my kids tended not to listen to me as well as when I was around them more, when I was investing that time in building some connection. And so I don't mean to imply that if you have a strong connection with your kids, they'll automatically behave, that they won't. But they'll be much, much easier to redirect. They'll be more likely to behave in the first place, and they'll be much, much easier to redirect and much more willing to listen to you if there's a strong connection. So, you know, always be mindful of the kind of time you're putting in with your kids. Are you putting in the time? Is it good time? Is everybody walking away from those experiences feeling closer because you had that time? And if your kids are pushing back, you know, before you lean in even harder, ask yourself, how can I build this up? How can I make sure to get some more time with the kids and have it be positive? That doesn't mean don't correct them until you get that time. It just means that by all means, go ahead and correct them, but don't expect it to stick as well or be as easily received if you're not putting in that time. So really look at that. In terms of correcting itself, one of the other principles of discipleship discipline is to assume that kids are not trying to get one over on you. They're not trying to manipulate you. They're not trying to be bad. Yes, you know, kids get angry just like the rest of us. They sometimes lash out and do stupid things, just like you and I do. But even then, the intention isn't to do a stupid thing. The intention is to say, I'm upset and I don't know how to express this anger in some way. So every behavior is an attempt to meet a need or a positive intention. Every behavior, especially the irritating, frustrating, destructive, you know, impulsive behaviors. There's a behind that irritating, frustrating, even sinful behavior is an attempt to meet some need or positive intention. And this is true for us too. In fact, you know, I guarantee you that you don't go out of your way to irritate your spouse or your kids or your coworkers or whatever. But inevitably we do that, right? So a good habit to get into is to ask yourself, you know, what was the need or positive intention I was trying to express when I upset this person? You know, when I drove that person crazy, what was I trying to do? And then it makes it easier for us to give that grace to other people, including our kids. You know, by remembering to ask ourselves that question, then, you know, what is it that they, I think, were trying to do? What was their intention or need? That does not excuse bad behavior, all right? What it does is it gives us a charitable way in. So I can say to my kid, look, I believe that you were trying to do this. You know, is that correct? Because we don't want to assume, right? We should ask. You know, it seems to me that you are upset and you're not sure how to express yourself respectfully. Is that the case? You know, it seems to me that you are anxious to get to do this thing, and that's why you were rushing through your homework, right? You know, and I can understand why you'd want to do that. It's good to have fun. It's good to be able to, you know, play your game or get together with your friends. Those are really good things. But I think that was your intention. Or if we don't know, to ask them, hey, what is it that you were hoping would happen by behaving that way? You know, what kind of response were you expecting to get? You know, they might struggle with that at first because they hadn't thought about it. It was just an impulsive thing. But really, you know, take a breath, think about this for a second. You know, if you kind of had your wish, how would everybody have responded to you doing that? All right, now you have the intention or need behind the behavior, and you can now teach a better way to do it. And you can say, all right, I get why you were trying to do that. That makes sense. I understand why you were struggling with us and such. Here's how you can do that better. Right. If you're upset and you don't know how to tell me that you're upset, you can say this. You can say, hey, Dad, I'm really frustrated about this. Or, hey, Dad, I feel like you're not listening to me. Or, hey, Dad, I'm upset. You know, and it gives you a chance to teach them how to express that. Same thing, you know, with like the homework example that I gave, you know, all right. So, you know, I understand that you want to get to this thing, but, you know, and you can say, you know, I'm really excited about doing this thing. But you have to make sure that the work is done before you go. And if you're not able to do that, then I'll just take away the opportunity for you to do that thing so that you don't have that distraction. I mean, that's okay too. You know, so but you're not being mean about it. You're not, well, I'm going to get you for behaving that way. It's just look like I'm going to help you succeed, right? Which is sort of a third principle here, where regular conventional approaches to parenting are all about setting up the parent as an obstacle. You have to prove to me that you're ready to do this, or you have to get past me to get what you want. It creates this adversarial tension between parents and kids. With discipleship discipline, we want our kids to succeed, right? We want them to get their needs met or know how to get their wants met. You know, do we want them to be able to have healthy relationships with their friends? We want them to be able to know how to have fun in healthy ways. We want them to be able to express their frustration or anger or disappointment or whatever in appropriate ways. We're rooting for them. And instead of being the obstacle that's in your path or the thing you have to get over or get past to get what you want, I'm going to help you get there. Right? But we need to figure out how to do that in a healthy and godly way. Right. So your kid asks for a privilege that you're not sure they're ready to get. Don't make it about you. Don't make it about you saying, oh, well, I don't think you're ready for that. Say, I would like for you to have that. Right. I'm concerned because I want you to be able to have that in a way that would be good for you. Right. So let's say with teens, right. Teen wants to go out on a date. Like, well, I would love for you to be able to go out on a date. I think that's an important part of growing up and I want that for you. But I want to make sure that you're able to date in a way that is actually healthy and good for you, in a way that sets you up for healthier relationships in the future, whether it's this with this person or with somebody else. So, you know, it's part of my job to kind of help you have a good relationship with this person and develop good relationship habits. And in order to do that, I would need to see, you know, A and B and C from you. You know, I would need to see, you know, you being, you know, responsible and making good decisions, you know, so even when the pressure was on, because, when you're dating somebody, you know, there's a lot of pressure sometimes to take advantage of the other person because you're feeling kind of caught up in a moment or, you know, making bad choices. So I would like to see you working on being a little more responsible in, you know, following through on things, even when it's difficult. Let's figure out. And I don't just tell them that. I say, so let's figure out what are the one or two things I really would like to see you demonstrating and practicing that responsibility with. You know, secondly, another important relationship habit is being able to pray with that person and having a strong enough faith to know what's right and to be discerning God's call. So, you know, I need to see you taking more responsibility for your prayer life. Well, let's talk about how to make that happen. Okay, how about, you know, 10 minutes before we have family prayer, you take some time to pray individually. And let's talk about what that would look like, you know, if you're not sure, right? So again, and when I see you doing those things, then I would be okay with giving you permission to go on that date. But I need to see those things from you, not because I'm an obstacle and trying to stand in your way, but because these are the kinds of things that a person who is ready to date needs to be able to do. And you know, they say, well, my friends don't do that. And it's like, well, and your friends' love lives are going to crash and burn. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that happen to you. You know, I could just be an unloving parent that says, yeah, go out and do whatever you want. But then you're going to fail. And you're going to hate yourself and you're going to feel like a failure. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to have successful and healthy relationships and know that whatever happens, you did everything that you could to do it the right way. Right. And so you see the difference. You know, I am still setting a structure. I'm still setting expectations. I am still, you know, requiring things of my child. But I'm doing it in a way that's helpful, that's focused on their success. I gave an example in adolescence, but it really could apply to anything else too. You know, your 4-year-old wants to have a play date. But the last time they had a play date, they were a terror. And they you know, just, you know, trashed the house or they were mean to their friends. Before I have another, I would like for you to be able to have that play date. I think that would be great. Before we go there, I want to make sure that you're in a position where you can have a better time and do a better job. So I need to see you doing whatever, you know, accepting direction, you know, or, you know, when somebody says someone, mom or dad, you know, say something, or one of your brothers or sisters asks for something you don't want to do, I want to see you being more generous. And then we kind of talk through how to do that. It's not just we're lecturing the kid. I need you to do this, this, and this. It's let's come up with a plan to teach you how to do this thing that you were struggling with. And when I see you doing it around the house, then I'll know that it's time to have a play date because I trust that you can do this outside the home too. So, you know, I'm focusing on teaching. There's a structure there that prevents them from, that doesn't lead them into temptation, right? I'm saying, look, you right now, based on what I'm seeing, you can't handle it. This is what it would take to handle it. Let's come up with a plan, right? So discipleship discipline is focused on that teaching. So number one, again, relationship. I'm checking on my relationship. Number two, I'm trying to identify the intention or need behind the behavior. Number three, I'm really focused on creating that structure and teaching healthy ways to meet that need or intention, and so that they can succeed. I'm on their side. These are just some examples. As I mentioned at the beginning, we do talk about this more, you know, in several of the Catholic Home podcasts, in the DIY video section of the website. You can see a whole section on discipleship discipline videos that are 3 to 5 minutes long. And then again, of course, our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, and its sister volume, Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Both of them are available at a discount in the Catholic Home Bookstore. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Catholic, of Bedatitudes. If you have questions, and I hope you do, please feel free to post them in the Home Builder channel on the Catholic Home app. Look forward to seeing you there. God bless.